Good evening. It's good to have you here. Glad to see you made it out. Glad to have the opportunity to stand before you. It's been a while since I've been up here. Since Andy's been here, I've had the privilege of listening to him more often than having the honor of standing before you. But situation being as it is, and positions being what they are, I'm always on the lookout for a sermon topic, because you never know when you might need one. Tonight's one of those nights when I needed one. So, luckily, I had been on the lookout. A couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago now, Donovan was here speaking in our meeting. Did a very good job. And there's one night where he mentioned something about him not being very good with tools. My ears perk up because tools are one of my favorite things. If you remember the show Home Improvement, Tim the Tool Man Taylor, he was always on the lookout for a bigger, better tool. He had tools for stuff that he would never do, that he didn't know how to use. He loved tools. And I fit that mold pretty well. I've got lots of tools and I enjoy using them. And so hearing someone talk about tools piqued my interest. And I got to thinking about it. And it reminded me of a situation that I had experienced at my father's house. And some of you know, my parents recently built a home. It's been a year or so ago now. And to make a short story long, as a friend of mine used to say, while they were building the house, a truck got stuck in the yard, got pulled out, but left ruts. And we were out there one day, and Dad had handed me a shovel and asked me to smooth that out. You know, dig up the high part and fill in the low part. And I was out there while Dad was messing around on the tractor, and I'm thinking to myself, while I've got this shovel, this is a task that would be so easy with the right tool, that being a blade on the back of the tractor. It's hardly worth attempting with a shovel. This hard clay, and I'm digging and getting nowhere, and thinking, you know, one pass with a blade and this would be smooth. Why am I messing around with this? And the thought that came to me, that Donovan reminded me of in his mention of tools, was that using the right tool for the job makes the job easy, even enjoyable. Using the wrong tool for the job frustrates the user and generally damages whatever the tool is being used on. And most of us who have ever tried to drive a nail with a screwdriver handle or a pair of pliers, and I know you're out there, I can't be the only one who's tried to do that. Understand that, because you get really frustrated because you can't reach the hammer and you've got to hold the nail, and so you grab what you can get, and you end up bending the nail, and you get frustrated, and the nail it doesn't work out well when you use the wrong tool for the job. Now, for those of you that haven't, I'm just trying to think of other instances where this principle is borne out. I remember always as a young child watching my mom mop the kitchen floor. And she would always mop the kitchen floor on her hands and knees with a wet rag. And when I was thinking about this, I actually went back and asked Mom, why did you do that? You know, I know that they had mops on handles at the time. Why are you on your hands and knees? And she said, well, I felt I could do a better job on my hands and knees. And she said, but now I think that's why my back is messed up. And now she's got one of these Swiffer wet jet things that sprays the water and you just do it standing up. And she realizes now, and she told me this, she realizes that having had that, it's so much easier when you get the right tool, or a tool that's designed to do what you're trying to accomplish. And so I'm thinking about this, and yes, I did introduce this as a sermon topic, and we're getting there, I promise. So the right tool can make a task easy or enjoyable. The wrong tool frustrates the user and generally causes damage. So we're going to think about this as a sermon topic. We're going to think about this as it pertains to religious life, to our spiritual life. So let's think about some of the tools that Christians have available to them. And then we'll talk about using the right ones. The first thing that popped in my head when I was thinking about the tools of a Christian was Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 13. The armor, put on the whole armor of God. Now, I know you've all heard lessons about this. If I'm not mistaken, I actually preached one not too long ago. So we're not going to go through this in great detail, but let's just think about these as the tools that Christians have, and we'll read through this. First of all, in verse 13, Paul, as he sets up this analogy that he's going to make between these tools of a Christian, as we're going to call them, and the armor of a soldier, he explains the purpose of these tools. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So the whole point of this set of tools, or this armor of the Christian soldier, is to be able to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here's a list that Paul gives in his analogy to the armor of a soldier, or the tools of a soldier. And we're going to use that as a partial list. Of course, we could spend all night talking about all the tools that a Christian has available to them. But we just want to think about some of these things that Paul has mentioned that a soldier would use. There's one of them that stands out to me in talking about the tools of a Christian, and that is the sword of the Spirit. Because, not that it's any more or less important, I think if you were trying to rank these, you would be in real trouble, because they're all pretty much equally important. You can't have one without the other. You leave one out, you're in trouble. So not that we're ranking these or calling out one as more important, but the one that seems to me to be the most versatile and flexible, and in looking at it as a tool, this is the one that you're going to reach for the most, would be the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Obviously, because that's where we find the truth that we are to gird our waist with. That's how we discover how we define the righteousness that we're going to put on as a breastplate to protect ourselves. And so on and so forth. All of this comes from the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we don't know what the truth is. We don't know how to be righteous. And so this one seems to be that one tool that you're going to reach for the most. And the Word of God is referred to as a sword also in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it is described as sharp as a two-edged sword. And you may have heard lessons about that specifically, as I have. And one of the things that's mentioned in those lessons that I've heard is that the reason it's as sharp as a two-edged sword is because it cuts a coming and a going. We must be sure, as we define these tools of a Christian, that this one specifically, the Word of God, as we said, this is where we find the truth, this is how we define righteousness, and so on and so forth, that we are subject to the Word of God. So, in defining tools of a Christian, we talk about all these elements that Paul brings out in his analogy. We talk specifically about the Word of God. There's one other I want to mention, probably because I taught class this morning and it came up in class when we were talking about Peter denying Christ. And we said that if he had been able to stay with the other disciple who got him into the courtyard, that his ability to withstand the temptation to deny Christ would have been perhaps far better. That is, we should spend time with fellow Christians. And we should take advantage of that tool that God has given us of encouragement and uplifting that we get when we come together. And this is, we can reference several scriptures when we talk about the value of coming together. But we can understand it on our own level that there is strength in numbers. That when we come and we're here and we're all focused together, we understand that we are much stronger here than we are out in the world by ourselves. So we should take advantage of this tool as well. Just a short list. As I said, we could be here all night listing those. Tools of the Christian. But the principle that I... I don't know if I came up with it, or the principle that occurred to me was the right tool can make the job easy, the wrong tool frustrates and damages. So I want to talk a little bit about using the right tool. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved." And I was going to try to quote it, but I'm not that brave. This reading out of the New King James: "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We called out the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, as one of our most flexible tools, the tool we're going to be reaching for the most. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul encourages Timothy to rightly divide it, to make the right decisions when using that tool. Well, that's the inference I'm going to put on it tonight. I was a part of a conversation not too long ago where a couple of friends were discussing how to approach a friend who was a Muslim. And the friend who was asking the question was saying, has anyone had success, and how do I approach him, and how do I talk to him about what he believes and what I believe, and how can we introduce this topic without it becoming a conflict? And there was another person who responded and said, "Just tell him what it says." And he responded, calling that sledgehammer gospel. And he said, "That would never work in this case." And that conversation went on to become a number of other conversations which aren't relevant to the discussion tonight. But that was the first time I had heard the term sledgehammer gospel. And I thought that was interesting, especially in this discussion of tools, because when I think about hammers, I was thinking this afternoon, I have at least 5 different types of hammer in my tool collection, out in my shop. I have a rubber hammer for hitting things that I don't want to beat up, like wood. I have a brass hammer for hitting things I don't want to mark. I have a claw hammer that everyone's familiar with for driving and pulling nails. I have a ball peen hammer that I use for specific things as well. And I also have a sledgehammer that I use for driving things into the ground or driving wedges into pieces of wood and things like that. And when I heard the term sledgehammer gospel, I knew what he was talking about. I think most of us have heard of an instance, or talked to someone specifically who at one point was associated with the church, whether they grew up in the church or whether they were a Christian at one point or something. And something was said to them that offended them. And for whatever reason, they took offense at that and decided that from that point on, they would not be associated with the church. I have heard people in the church make statements that were not very friendly. The first thing that comes to mind, of course, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, where we are encouraged to speak the truth in love. But this is about choosing the right tool for the job. There are times when I do reach for that sledgehammer. There are situations where that is very appropriate, that is the right tool for the job. There are times and situations where it is absolutely necessary to show someone beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are not right with God, that what they're doing is sin, and that if they continue on that path, they will not have the reward of heaven, but will instead have the punishment of hell. There are some situations where that is the right approach. Some people need to be hit with sledgehammer gospel in order to shake them from their calloused, sinful life. But there are also situations where it is far better to, with a very sensitive and very tactful approach, simply let them know that what they're doing is wrong. And give them the opportunity, or perhaps it's just mentioning a scripture in passing, that they can then read and find out for themselves that they are in the wrong. If I grab my sledgehammer to drive a nail into a piece of plywood, I'm going to be in trouble. If I grab my ball peen hammer, my little bitty ball peen hammer, and try to drive a wedge into a block of wood, I'm not going to get very far. The right tool makes the job easy. The wrong tool frustrates the user and causes damage. The obvious question is, how do you choose? Well, you've got to know the situation. And you've got to know your tools. I know that the sledgehammer is heavy and that if I can lift and swing it, it's going to deliver a very strong blow. I know that the ball peen hammer is very light and doesn't take much effort and isn't going to make a very strong impact. Now, based on my knowledge of my tools, I can then examine the situation. Is this a situation that requires a very strong blow? Or is this a situation that would require a very light tap? And based on my knowledge of my tools and my knowledge of the situation, I can then choose the right one. So to bring this to our earlier example of someone who's been offended by someone who said the wrong thing, how do you know what to say? I think the same principles hold. You've got to know the situation. You've got to know the person, which means investing some time in figuring out how they're going to react to a strong blow or a light tap, to figure out which is necessary and which is the appropriate tool to use in that particular instance. And then the next is to know your tools. We've already read 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved, as it says in the King James. If we know the Scripture, if we know how to use the sword of the Spirit, we can deliver the right kind of blow to the right kind of situation. Use the right tool for the job. We've known people who've been damaged by using the wrong tool. But the right tool makes things easy. Now, there was one other thought that came to mind when thinking about tools as a sermon topic. And that was the fact that beyond defining the tools of the Christian and beyond determining the right tool to use, you can step back a level and realize that we are God's tools. God chose to use Christians, His people, to do His work, to be His tools. Where am I getting that? Look at Mark 16:15. We all know this is the Great Commission. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He chose to use those 12 men as His tools to reach the entire world at that time. And that extends to us, that we are to be used as His tools. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. Jesus is telling His apostles how they should give alms. He uses the word when you give alms. When you take care of the poor, the less fortunate than you. It's not if. It's when you do these things. He's counting on His people to take care of those who are less fortunate. For those of you who don't know, I am a computer programmer by trade. And what I do every day can be described in a number of different ways, but one of the ways to describe it is that I build tools. I build tools to allow the users to put data in, to perform calculations, or to get data out. That's basically what I do. And there are times, some of the most frustrating times in my job, in my work, is when someone has used a tool to do something that it was not intended to do. You see, these programs that I write, they get spec'd out, they get described, this is exactly what we want it to do. And you build it, and it does exactly what they want it to do. And then somebody comes along and says, you know, we can use this to do this that it wasn't intended to do. And there's always these unintended consequences. When you use the wrong tool for the job, it frustrates the user. They don't get the results they expect, in this case. And damage can occur. There's many times that I've had to go in and try to fix something that someone broke by using the wrong program to do what they were trying to accomplish. As the designer, as the builder of those tools, it's incredibly frustrating to see someone use the wrong one, especially if the right one's right next to it. Drives me crazy. We are God's tools. People are God's tools. People are how God gets His tasks done. And if we, as His tools, are not being used for their intended purpose, it frustrates the user, in this case being God, and damage can occur. If we continue on that path to be used not as intended, we find ourselves not with the intended result of heaven, but with the punishment of hell. These principles are things that I've just noticed as I've tried to use tools and tried to come up with tools to replace the ones that I don't have. Incredibly frustrating. Takes a long time to accomplish something that would be really easy if you had the right tool. Being frustrated by someone using the wrong tool. Think about God. From His perspective, His tools, us, not performing as intended, not doing our jobs as He expects us to do. How frustrated He is and how damaged we end up. Tonight, if you find yourself not being used as intended, whether you've never identified and taken hold of these tools of a Christian, or whether you've merely laid them down and not been using them correctly, not been using the right ones, you have the opportunity to come forward tonight. We will do for you, with you, we will work with you, we will do what we can. If you'll come as we stand and sing.
Kneel at the cross.